Welcome to the Performance Health Podcast. My name is Tim Caron. Today we're going to be talking, about how he built some businesses while being a head strength coach in the team sector. A lot of great insights. One of the biggest things I took was this idea of not only developing a business, but managing a business and putting systems in place to make sure that thing is operating smoothly while you're doing your day job. If you like what you're hearing, please like, subscribe, and share. It makes a huge difference. Only keeps this thing moving forward, providing great level content to everybody that needs to hear it.
I'll unlock your potential as a strength coach with the Foundations course. Are you ready to take your coaching to the next level? The Foundations course isn't just another checklist or to-do list. It's a transformative journey that focuses on key models and skills that make great strength coaches. It will help you develop into the best version of yourself. In this course, you'll dive deep into essential concepts such as what do you want? Why do you want that? How are you going to get that? We're going to develop the motivation to develop the skills that are prerequisite to getting what you want. We're going to maintain motivation through practice. We're going to master communication. We're going to work on application through developing a coaching business and a 1, 5, and 10-year plan. This course is designed to be specific to your needs. You're learning at your own pace, diving into what matters to you. Each lesson is paired with an interactive workbook and a corresponding module. You'll get a copy of the Foundation workbook and a copy of How to Become a Strength Coach to make a deeper understanding of the lessons we're going through. Why choose the Foundations course? Develop a personalized coaching strategy that's tailored to you, your wants, and your needs. Build the skills and knowledge needed to become the strength coach you know you can be. Map out a clear 1, 5, and 10-year plan to stay on track for long-term success. Receive hands-on resources to help integrate learning into your coaching practice. The best coaches aren't born. They're made through consistent learning and development. This is your opportunity to become the coach and you know you always could be. Start your journey today by purchasing the Foundations course.
All right, we got Coach Mike Potenza fired up to have you on board. I'm just going to get right to it. You probably as dialed in a team sector job as you can possibly imagine, but you've been able to diversify a lot. So walk us through, outside of the team sector, some of the projects you got going on.
Yes, I wasn't, and a lot of these things happen organically. If I went out to search for these things and chase them, it's like that, the best, I love the phrase of the old quote of, if I chase two rabbits, they both get away. If I chase two rabbits, they both get away. But like in 09, I met, he's now one of my lifelong friends, was a pararescueman, a senior master sergeant in the military. And there's a pararescue unit, a National Guard unit, outside of San Jose, right by Levi Stadium here. And I had no idea what pararescue was. And we hit it off after a recommendation from a friend that was doing jujitsu with him. And I took him into train one day and smoked him. And then he took me to the base and smoked me. And it was love at first sight, basically. But what caught my eye was like, you guys have nothing. Like that career field had nothing. You should have seen their gym. It was in an old hangar. It probably had asbestos and lead in there, and these guys were writing their workout on the dry erase board, and they had dirty old weights, and the character of the gym was amazing. I wouldn't change that, but they was just left to, I'm hurt, I gotta go look online for a PT. I don't know if this is a really good PT for my injury. I'm gonna do my mountain athlete CrossFit or whatever workout. Navy or SEAL Fit at the time was big. And so then they're like, all right, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to get hurt and I'm going to try to go back to this. So there was no structure to it. And you would appreciate this. Like, we come from college sports. Like, college sports had way more than that. Like, Springfield, a D3 school, had way more than that. And these are some of our top war fighters. And I was just shocked. So I was like, hey, man, let me write the program. And they're like, really? You do that? I'm like, yeah. And that turned into me writing the program. There was 35 guys in this team into me going out 3 days a week, sometimes five in the morning till 7:30. And then I would go drive, I don't know, 15 minutes to the Shark Tank to train our guys. And then it evolved and it started morphing into this cool thing of like me presenting at weapons and tactics conferences on what now is called like HPO, human performance optimization. Exos didn't have the big contract that they did at the time. Nobody except for the SEALs had full-time strength coaches. And SOCOM had full-time strength coaches in units. So we were doing this grassroots thing and it was amazing. And then word got around from these weapons and tactics conferences to other pararescue units in the country. And there's three National Guard units and then there's five other active duty units in the country. And it just spun up from there. So now my involvement was really heavy from 09 till 2016, 2017. And then it got so big, it became a program of record where it's mandatory now to have these resources and programming that we got bid out from big companies that were bidding on these things. But we still stayed involved. I stay involved with the unit. I still program for guys. I had some other contracts that we won. My business won for like single performance related positions, like a PT or like a single strength coach. But I'm proud to say we had two units, the Alaska team and the San Jose team. And we had a strength coach in each unit on base. And then we had a full-time PT on base. And then we had a full-time massage therapist. And that was my model that I built. I didn't see the need for an athletic trainer in the model because not many guys are going to get their ankle taped before they get up in a chopper to go do a mission. Yeah. No disrespect against that, by any means, but just, you needed those pieces that were active. Yeah.
It's a great segue because at that point, you're doing it for organic reasons. Like these are underserved people that have a tremendous impact on all of our lives, whether we know it or not. So you're doing it for it's the right thing to do. But eventually it starts becoming a pretty consuming aspect. I'm assuming you didn't have a separate company, like an LLC at this point when you started just helping them out, right?
No, not in the beginning. And it was like, it took me a couple of years and suggestions from friends, but even like my senior master sergeant buddy who was like, and the commander was like, for us to really pay you. And if this thing's going to go big, because they're like, yeah, this is going to be pretty big. Nobody else is doing it. And the presentations were going really well. And so I did start my own LLC, Tactical Fitness and Performance. And that was just, and then you go through hoops to be able to bid on contracts in the DOD. You have to have certain registrations and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, we did that. And it got to be where we can still bid on, obviously, things today. But yeah, you got to get your shit organized. And I'm like, and again, it's so true. Performance coaches, strength coaches, whatever you say, we're not the best business people, but we're getting better. You know what I mean? So you got to dial that in to a high level. And we did. I brought on a lifelong friend he's like a brother to me. He was my business, and he's really good at business. So he was my business guy in terms of paying our employees. We had 8 employees at the height of it on 2 bases, working full time within the career field of pararescue and paying them. Getting paid from the government, managing all that. He's been amazing. So,
let's just say that you're looking at professional sports has got its shelf life and you're preparing for the inevitable getting fired. So maybe let's develop some passive income and I'll start flipping houses or doing some other side projects not related to strength conditioning, which I always encourage strength coaches. Like, you have such a hyper-specialized skill in developing it. It's just the extension of HR and running and organizing your business from an accounting perspective, that transition to, if you're going to flip houses, might as well diversify and create a horizontal, so to speak, for your business to go, okay, like I have a secondary source of income, but if worse comes to worse, I have a fallback plan if my team that I'm working with has a change of heart, which is always a fear in the back of our mind. But was there a point when, let's say before the, I'm assuming like this 2013, 2016, where you're like, man, this actually might be a full-time gig.
Yeah. Yeah. There was that aha moment. That was when we heard that Exos won a $500 million contract to employ, I don't know, it was 27 bases at the time. And it was an insane undertaking. And we really tried hard. And that's when, like, it was at that brink in 2016-ish. Where now this contract got so big, the 2 contracts that we had, Alaska and San Jose, got so big and everybody wanted it that it had to go out to bid, right? It was a make it or break it. It was like, all right, I couldn't get a chance to step away on my own terms from pro sports and then just do this and focus on this. But there's so much that goes into having the right bid. And as you can imagine, unfortunately, we didn't get it. I would say, like, for those who are, whether working at college sports or pro, and you want this like stream, like this happened to me organically. I know guys who, like you said, flip houses or have rental properties that do it, or that coach young athletes on the side or have a summer camp. That's great. That's solid. As long as you get permission from your team and your team supports it and it's not a conflict of interest and you truly have to separate it. There was no point in time did I ever make a decision that said, all right, the team's got something going on, but I have to go do this. I never got to that point. And honestly, I made it, I, again, getting up at 5 a.m. and then going to work with those guys and then going to the Shark Tank or going there late after hours at the shark, working with the sharks. I made it a point to separate those two as much as I can. And it's been successful doing that. And now there were many rookie development camps where we brought those guys in for team building because they're amazing at their principles and their character development and their rookie development for guys in the pararescue fields. It's been a tremendous relationship, but I would say to anybody, just make sure that you're not chasing two rabbits, like just separate them as much as you can, because you don't want the team to come back and say, hey, you've been doing this and our guys aren't getting serviced. And that's where you can shoot yourself in the foot.
And I'm sure there's someone listening to this. As strength coaches, you're always going to have an abundance of opportunities. And the thing that has become so challenging is to appraise whether this is something that is going to maybe give me some options or backup plans or a good source of revenue for me, or it's just something that fills me up and I enjoy doing it. I enjoy being around mm-hmm. those guys and it's a nice little outlet. How do you appraise good opportunities other than just instinct? Is there a good metric or something that in your mind of this is a good investment of my time? Because you still got a wife and kids too.
Right.
That's time in a day, right? So how do you manage all that?
It's a great question. That's been my kind of lifelong question or career long question is like, how many things can Mike Potenza, the one side of Mike Potenza wants to do as many things as he can do and be involved as much as he can do. And then the other side of Mike Potenza is this diluted Mike Potenza, who's a dad and husband now. You're not really that good at any of these things right now. We need to cut down and you need to say no. I had to learn how to say no. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, that aha moment came when I had kids, because I was fortunately, but unfortunately, it was like, holy shit, I gotta take care of my dad duties and obviously be a present husband. And you can't just, it's difficult for one parent to raise kids, never mind one, two, or three, it doesn't matter what number.
Yeah.
I got better, Tim, as I've gotten older to say, like, how am I gauging? What do I get the most back from? Do I feel like I'm giving back and not just working with the team? Do I feel good about this? Is it helping someone, whether it be youth athletes or whether it be these warfighters or whether it be on the health side for people as a whole, which kind of my involvement with Metabolic Elite. I've taken those steps. There's no kind of rubric to it. I guess my rubric is, okay, is it taking me away from my family? Am I just adding one more piece to the puzzle here that's way too much for me to handle? That's a big thing for the family side. And time. Is it going to take time away from my main duty that pays me and obviously puts food on the table and then gives us health insurance?
Have you found it a struggle with the things that aren't necessarily you have to be present for in managing your time, energy, and focus? For instance, I'm assuming like the latter half of the tactical aspect, you were mostly hands off from in-person stuff, maybe a couple speaking engagements here and there, but majority of it was, hey, I'm on the road. I got my laptop. I can do some stuff from an organizational stuff. And then now with Metabolic Elite, which I would love for you to talk a little bit more about how that came to be and what the background story of that is. And then now you can effectively do your part anywhere, but you still have a massive responsibility with your primary job. Like, how do you manage the stuff that you don't have to physically be there anymore for?
With the military piece, I had to get really good at trusting who I hired to implement the program. And I went from writing the program to being on site a few days to being on site a lot of days to me hiring somebody and writing the program and they implement it. But then it became like that kind of ran concurrent with the industry. Now it's like you get your bachelor's degree, you get your master's degree, and just goes to show you how old we are. 20 years ago when we graduated, it was, all right, I'm going to go work in college. But now you can go college, you can go pro or minor pro, you can go private performance, you can go military performance. And those are opportunities now. So by me needing a strength coach to actually implement it and on base, it ran concurrent with what was where the industry was going for professional jobs. So it worked out really good. You really have to become a good delegator. If you're going to have a big staff as a performance coach, you got to be able to delegate. I think, again, traditionally, we're not great at the business side. sometimes traditionally we're not great at the delegating side. We feel like we can get it done. I know I was like that, but now it's just too big. The trend in sport is you need, I got 25 guys. So it can't just be me like it was 20 years ago. We need more resources, but all the resources have to be pulling the rope in the direction of our philosophy, but to get results from these guys and to keep these guys healthy. So you got to become a good delegator. And I think that's what allowed me to do these projects, but also it made me a better manager. We're not even talking about like sets and reps. We're talking about like managing these positions and your staff. The same thing, because you have multiple facilities, right? Like you really need good people. And sometimes managing people is difficult, but that allowed me the freedom. And I would always look to myself first. If something didn't get done, if I wasn't communicating, managing, being on top of it, but not micromanaging it, yeah. If something went wrong. But if it wasn't, okay, if my checks and balances were there and they're not executing, then it's a different conversation.
Yeah. I find in this, feel like this is a recent trend that a lot of like traditional strength conditioning coaches are moving into the top of the org chart from a traditional like high performance model where we have a performance director. Do you find that the skills, essentially you got street version of an MBA by running a business with multiple employees when you're up for a potential job of, hey, we're going to promote a high performance director who's going to oversee a lot of the components of our overall sports organization. Do you find when you transition to that role that you were either more confident or more prepared for that role now?
I did. I did feel prepared, not, I would say, prepared to, with the military, take on more staff. I had more military staff than I did in pro sports, to be honest with you, which is weird. But yeah. Built it to that point where we had more. It was weird. And I felt like, okay, now when the team was like, yeah, let's put more money into these resources, I was better organized to at least get the ball rolling and how to see how all the pieces fit, to see how the communication was going to go, how the execution was going to go, how the new pieces fit with the old pieces that were traditionally, they've been in the league for a long time and new people coming in is tough. So how does that Rubik's Cube all fit together? You know what I mean? So yeah, it was, I guess when I went to the NBA, was seeing it at a much higher level. Just even more staff. And then that was great because now that helped me to come back and build that here with the Sharks to see how way understaffed, 25 guys, way more than basketball. I wouldn't say a lot more injuries, but different injuries. But the resources needed to be stepped up and improved here to get ahead of injuries, maximize performance, all that stuff. Three things I wish I did when I was an undergrad and grad. I wish I took more sports psychology because that's at least half the battle when you're dealing with an injured athlete, right? I wish I did more business management, like how you manage people, how do you get the most out of people, but then how do you get the most out of, or how do you get that interaction of people together where egos are involved, skill sets are involved, all that kind of stuff. And the third thing I wish I went to massage school, but that's
my goodness,
that, that doesn't help my, you know, I love the manual work and learning about it. I'm fascinated with it, but I should have spent more time doing it.
Yeah, I know.
So if you're a young strength coach listening to this, then just, you know, stay.
Your scope and your skills are going to be tremendously more broad. So going into that though, okay. So you have some now opportunity to reflect on the things that you wish you learned more from and did differently. You're starting a new business with Metabolic Elite. You're building this out with, you know, Dr. Laval, who we're all a huge fan of, and he's brilliant in so many ways, but there's probably a definitive reason other than like, all right, you have a great name and you have a great affiliation with certain organizations. Like you provide a certain organizational component that very few people can compete with a supplement company, which is all
one second.
You're all good, which is all logistics.
Haven't been moving around.
So that like now transition, you're back in startup mode and you're again starting like pretty much a second time starting a new job with the Sharks. Like you got a lot of new things that you're building from essentially nothing. Walk us through how do you take on like building something
from like effectively nothing by managing this big broad thing. And it can push in any direction you want. So it's just a blank canvas. So walk me through your thought process in approaching these like complex or abstract problems that were that you're working on.
Well, Jim and I talked, I'll never forget the conversation. We were both lecturing at an NBA event, and we were on a panel. The NBA, the seminar that they had was cool because it was like all breakout sessions on specific topics, whether it be knee issues, Achilles issues. Then they had blood work panel and a couple other ones. I got asked to be on the blood work panel with Jim and a couple other, an MLS coach, and then an athletic trainer in the NBA who we were all using blood work to some level within our teams. At the time I had been through Inside Tracker, I'd been through Blueprint for Athlete, and then Jim and I hooked up and I was using the code with a lot of athletes. So we spoke on it, and I was the more practical side and how we got all this information and then, okay, what's the interventions now? We got all the data. How do we implement it on the day-to-day basis to the athletes, and how do we get the athletes to look at their nutrition and what they take in, and how, and most certainly, how are they supplementing for recovery and whatnot? We were in New York and Jim was telling me about, and I knew a little bit of the history of who he formulated for, but he went into a deep dive and those great conversations where you're just having dinner, and he went into who we formulated for, and he went into some of the challenges on the business side, which that's the ugly side of the supplement business. Everybody talks about how many billions of dollars it makes, but there's a tough, ugly side that you got to deal with. And whether it be an individual's name on a supplement label or a big company, big pharmaceutical company. So Jim told me about it, and he was just telling me these war stories / just the bad side of it. And I said to him, I was like, why don't you just do it yourself? Like, why don't you just make your own company?
Yeah.
I said, stop formulating for everybody else. And you got this little logo, Jim Laval, on the back of the bottle. Do it yourself. And I was just, and he's staring at me and he said, yeah, we're going to do it. And I was like, what? Like, we? And he goes, yeah, you've got to help me. I was like, how am I going to help you? You know what I mean? I'm lucky. Shit, how am I going to help you? And after us talking for another couple hours, this can work, like, to disrupt the industry, to bring his teaching beyond the foundational aspect of what supplementation can be, what adaptogens can be, what recovery should look like, what gut repair should look like. And a lot of the things that I told him, I was like, we should model the metabolic code to sport. We talk about it within that aspect, but how do we do it to sport? And how can we have cutting edge formulations like he has and technologies like we have in this liposomal technology right now? So we started doing it, and it was tough sledding. It is tough sledding. But in the beginning, Jim and I doing it, and my role in daily schedule and Jim's speaking schedule and all the boards that he's on, it was in being in the clinic and meeting patients, it was hard. I will say, and I'll always say this, however successful we are, but when Jim brought on Christian, our director of ops, it really got moving. We had a dedicated professional who was he went to school for performance and wanted to follow in our footsteps of coaching. And he has one of the best teachers, who's his dad, in the same room as him every day. And they're talking about this stuff, and he's lived it. And on the business side, he really got us going. Kudos to him.
It's there. It comes down to
so that's how it. Yeah, that's how it gets rolling. So
it is.
And so now we got the educational piece that we all love to preach and talk about and share with everybody. And then you have this marketing monster to get everybody to know what we're doing. And we have great testing, third party testing to the supplements, and then we have the best formulator in the world. Designing these things.
So this has been awesome. Thank you so much for this. I think the big message here is there's so many good opportunities for strength coaches out there. And one, there's a doing it for the right reasons because you feel like it's the right call. But then two, once it starts getting some traction, because good is good, one thing that's always going to be a universal truth is things seem to happen for really good strength coaches. And your talent and your skill has put you in a position to have a lot of opportunities. But then it's understanding how to make things grow. And I think you hammered it, man. It was like people, like, get the right people on board and amazing things can happen.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to manage. Don't be afraid to delegate. Know what that looks like going in. Mm-hmm. And again, do it for all the right reasons, and don't chase two rabbits.
Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I love it. I appreciate it.